thanks so much for joining us this week on the Philanthropy Podcast. I'm so excited today to have two really special guests with me. Tessa Madden Storms is the Executive Director of Development at Homeboy Industries in Los Angeles. She's been with Homeboy for almost a year after spending more than a decade at People Assisting the Homeless. I think that goes by PATH, right, Tessa?
Yep.
In both Los Angeles and Santa Barbara, California. And we also have Mary Livesey, who is the Manager of Foundation Relations at Homeboy for the past 18 plus months after spending many years in higher education, philanthropy, and some other organizations too. So welcome to both of you. If you don't mind, I'd love it if you could take it away and just tell us a little bit more about yourselves and maybe a bit about your philanthropy backgrounds. That would be great.
Yeah, thanks so much, Colleen, for inviting us and thanks for having us. It's great to be here. As Colleen mentioned, my name is Mary. I'm the Manager of Foundation Relations here at Homeboy Industries. And prior to joining Homeboy, I was in higher education. So I worked for a women's college. And while at Scripps College, I was heavily involved in something called the Scripps College Academy, which was sort of surrounding getting first generation females into college and having them experience what life was like in college and through that. And then also a grant that the Claremont Colleges received from Mellon for justice education. I got a little bit exposed to education for incarcerated folks and got to learn a little bit about what Homeboy was doing. And so really jumped at the chance when this opportunity came about. And it's been really interesting transition, although it's still institutional giving, it's just such a different mission. And so it's been a good learning curve and a nice challenge for me, and I'll pass it over to Tessa.
Great. Yeah, thanks. I think both Mary and I jumped at the opportunity to join Homeboy. I think, you know, I came from, as you mentioned, Colleen, 10 years working with a different type of marginalized population in the homeless service and affordable housing world, and really got connected to that after moving to LA to attend USC and getting my bachelor's and my master's there, and just being exposed, moving from the Midwest, being exposed to homelessness in front of our very eyes. As we all know here in Los Angeles, you can't really avoid it. And it was just an immediate kind of passion issue of mine. And I was excited to be able to work kind of really hands-on doing both kind of fundraising and programmatic work with PATH over the 10 years I was there. Helping to grow the organization from really a small local countywide agency to the largest provider in the state. So lots of really interesting experiences there, and getting to experience the philanthropic communities in a number of different of our cities and regions in California. But really, really loving LA is my home now, and getting to work with the folks that we serve at Homeboy Industries every day and walk alongside every day, and getting to kind of shift my direction towards our mission. It has just been such a joy for the past, I think, 8 months now.
You mentioned the joy that you take in the mission of Homeboy. Would you or Mary mind sharing a little bit more about Homeboy? What makes it so unique? What makes it interesting as an organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I think is so unique about Homeboy and the model, two things really. One is just the population we serve, that it is really some of the most marginalized and demonized in our community, formerly incarcerated and previously gang-involved people from our community. And then our model of healing and really seeing the whole person and working with them through job training, workforce development in our social enterprises is really unique. So we have 10 social enterprise businesses, and I think we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but it's a way for our clients, who we call trainees, to work and learn to be an employee. And then these social enterprises are then generating revenue, which goes back into the mission of the organization for people to find healing and be able to transform their lives and become contributing members of our community.
Wow. Yeah. So if you don't mind talking a little bit more about those social enterprise businesses that are affiliated with Homeboy, that's a unique sort of model, so to speak, for a nonprofit. And I'd love to hear more about that. How do they impact philanthropy, for example, and just sort of what role they play in the overall nonprofit?
Yeah. Well, so for folks who are in the LA area, we always invite you to come down to our headquarters down here in downtown LA, right at the Chinatown Gold Line stop, where we have some of our social enterprises businesses right on the campus. We have our Homegirl Cafe, our bakery, which is our original social enterprise business, started 30 years ago. That was really the genesis of Homeboy Industries. And then also, if you're traveling in and out of Los Angeles and LAX, you'll see we have a hub in LAX terminal, so you can go and get goods there. We have our grocery items, which you'll see in stores, farmers market. We also have our newest social enterprise business, which is very exciting, called Feed Hope. It was started during the pandemic in response to food insecurity, and our employees at the bakery and cafe saying, hey, we have this food. We know we got to shut our doors, but we also know there are people in our community who are hungry right now. Can we cook this up and serve this to our community members? And we said, yeah, absolutely, great idea. And then donors heard about it and said, hey, we'd love to keep this going. So then it was able to keep it going through private funding. And then we actually contracted with the government for WEDAX to support our seniors in the greater Los Angeles County area. And we also have merchandise and silkscreen and embroidery, and then a diner at City Hall. So it's a 10 total social enterprise businesses. And we intentionally employ more people in the businesses than we need to, so that there's more job opportunities.
So what was the sort of genesis of that? What was the reasoning behind starting so many of those social enterprise, you know, businesses to be attached to this nonprofit?
Yeah, I think the original, as Mary mentioned, right, our kind of original Homeboy Bakery that was started alongside the agency was really created just out of kind of a necessity and a vision of Father Greg's to employ the folks that he was helping to support in the Dolores Mission area in East Los Angeles, very local, very homegrown, and just wanting to give these individuals that were gang involved and looking to exit that lifestyle an opportunity to work and do something meaningful with their time and grow their skill set, right? And so, but then that kind of catalyzed from there. So as it stands today, you know, our businesses range this spectrum from being kind of revenue generating to really creating meaningful opportunities for employment, like Mary mentioned. So they kind of fall along a different spectrum, and all of them kind of serve a different purpose, right? But for those training businesses, as Mary was mentioning, we do often overstaff, right? That they're not necessarily generating mass amounts of profit or revenue for the organization, but they're generating incredible impact in the number of jobs and opportunities for meaningful employment available. And then things like the airport diner, the chips, tortilla chips that everyone sees in the stores and a lot of people associate with their first association with Homeboy, that those ones are, you know, kind of licensed out businesses. Those might not be creating as many jobs or even necessarily staffing Homeboy Industries trainees, but they're helping to generate revenue and obviously, helping with our kind of marketing and exposure to the general broader population.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And the chips, that's definitely one that I've seen. Is that
pretty good.
Is that your most well-known enterprise, would you say?
I think it's probably the most visible. I don't know if you would agree with that, Mary. It's the most visible, but otherwise the bakery. I mean, a lot of people have had the bakery, and a lot of folks come and enjoy lunch at the cafe. And yeah, to the extent that, as Mary mentioned, we, you know, kind of extended the cafe into City Hall, and we have that diner there, but best chilaquiles in Los Angeles. So best chilaquiles and best coffee cake in Los Angeles. So if you or any of our listeners have not ever been, you're welcome anytime. We'd love to host you for lunch.
Great tip. I love that. So where does most of your fundraising support come from? Would you say it's individuals, you know, maybe corporate or foundations? Tell me more about that.
Yes, it's a pretty kind of good breakdown, right? And so obviously we just talked about the social enterprises, and that does drive a meaningful portion of our revenue. So of about our $30 million annual budget, About 5 to 7 million comes from those social enterprises. So those 11 different businesses. About 5 million then comes from government contracts and support and work in partnership with our public sector partners, which is really a piece of our revenue generation that has been growing very steadily. Really, we've been in our colleague who supports that those efforts has been really intentional about kind of growing our relationships with really important kind of, you know, public sector government partners. And then the side that Mary and I both work on, and kind of the private philanthropy side, that makes up about 20 million total, broken down to about 10 million individual or private, 8.5 that falls under Mary's scope with the foundation and individual giving. And then the remainder of that 20 million coming from corporate sponsors and partners.
Okay. So what is your typical individual donor look like? What kind of person is motivated, you know, to give to Homeboy?
That's a really excellent question. You know, I think it's very much across the board. And one of the things in my transition into Homeboy that I've just been so blown away by is the incredible breadth of support from across the country and really across the world. And I think it's really unique because, you know, we're not specifically doing work across the world. We're doing work in the county, in our home of Los Angeles, but because of, you know, the scope of Father Greg's impact and his reach through his authorship and his, you know, talks that he goes out into the community and just his general kind of well-known nature, right? We have this amazing support across the country. So I think, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are motivated for different reasons. A lot of people just read the book, and after reading one of Father Greg's books, they're motivated to give, right? Some have been involved from the start. Some have been with us for 30 plus years, you know, and have helped lay the foundation of Homeboy Industries way back then, and have stuck it out and are still such critical supporters now. So I think there's a lot of different motivating factors. And I think that's one of the things that makes it really exciting as a fundraiser, right? Our work is to connect individuals, organizations, foundations to, you know, connect them to what, you know, things that matter to them that we're doing, and to be able to have this diverse range of donors, it definitely keeps us on our toes to make sure we can plug them in and make their giving as impactful as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have both, I think, mentioned Father Greg Boyle. He, I think, is your founder, if I'm correct. And clearly he's a pretty significant figure, you know, in Homeboy Industries. I know that you're also not a religiously based organization. So I'd like, you know, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about how that might impact your fundraising efforts. Does that become a challenge, or is that an opportunity? You know, if you could comment on that, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting dynamic. And I think Mary and I have had these conversations, you know, kind of together offline, right? And both coming from organizations or educational institutions that were not necessarily, you know, religiously affiliated. But, you know, Father Greg has this incredible impact, and his values, and thus the values of Homeboy, are absolutely rooted, right, in the Jesuit faith, and in kind of that piece, and that's what drove him to kind of create this mission and create our organization, and it has such a lasting impact today, right? They drive the kind of our ethos of the organization. But I think recognizing that we're at, and I think some people might not recognize, right, that we're not necessarily a religiously affiliated organization. So it's just being intentional about that. But I think it certainly opens a ton of doors and opportunities for us within those circles, right? Whether it be the Jesuit, Catholic, Christian, just people that are interested in learning about broader religious faiths, right? And kind of engaging with those types of practices and learning from Father Greg and with Father Greg and with Homeboy alongside us, you know, kind of those principles and values that drive this work that we do, which really do set us apart, right? They are such a part of our heart and soul, and part of what we lovingly refer to as kind of the special sauce of Homeboy, right? And that's something that I don't think any other organization has. But then there have been, I think Mary and I have both had conversations with individuals who, you know, are not Christian, not of the Christian faith, right? And are, you know, kind of interested about how we toe that line, asking similar questions as you just asked, Colleen. So I think, again, another kind of piece that keeps us on our toes is, you know, really being able to explain that well and, you know, kind of make the tie-in of, yes, that our values are rooted in that, but our services are open to all, our doors are open to all. We have supporters from all different faiths or no faith at all, right? They come to us because of the work we're doing standing hand in hand with the marginalized folks that we're serving and really creating change. So I think at the end of the day, it boils down to our mission, but it is kind of fun and dynamic to be able to connect with people to figure out what's really driving them, right? Because a lot of our donors, at least especially on the individual side, I would say I can speak to them, you know, are maybe more religiously motivated donors in one way or another. And then there's some that are not at all. So making sure that we're kind of defining that and being able to kind of get in sync with those folks and being able to really share that at the core of our mission is kinship and kindness and compassion, and those things spread across religions. Those things are not religiously affiliated either, right? So,
yeah, that's a really it's a nuanced approach that you have to take. It sounds like you. I believe I read that a number of your employees are actually former participants in your program. Is that true?
Absolutely, yeah, and I think you know. Being newer to Homeboy, I honestly did not know this statistic before I came on board. And I think it's one of now the most special things about our work and our organization is that about 65% of our senior staff, which are paid full-time employees, Mary and my peers, right, have been through our program, have lived experience. Our graduates were once part of our 18-month trainee work, and you know they're working alongside us, and we have the chance to learn and grow from them and with them every day, right? And it's definitely something that, looking to the future, that we're being very intentional about as an organization, is that leadership development from within and leadership development of individuals with lived experience who we kind of love, we refer to as credible witnesses, right, to the work that we're doing. And, you know, it was Father Greg's dream when he opened Homeboy that eventually Homeboy Industries would be run by homies and homegirls. And we're making quite a bit of progress towards that goal. And so we're being really intentional around our leadership development for the entire team, but certainly for those folks with lived experience, so we can continue to grow and develop and place individuals in different parts of the organization, whether it be on the social enterprise side or the agency side.
All right. I love that. What's next for Homeboy? What's on the horizon? Any exciting initiatives?
We got lots going on. It's never a boring day at Homeboy Industries. I will tell you that for sure. Mary can chime in, but she mentioned a little bit around, I think we mentioned a little bit around housing. So I think that's it. That was a gap, if you will, was not something that was in our portfolio and in our organization. So we're really being intentional and excited to hopefully break ground around this time next year on 150 bed long-term transitional housing facility, primarily focused on the individuals in our 18-month training program, continuing to build out our youth programs at both our youth reentry center that Mary also mentioned and our art academy, and then really kind of focusing on leadership development from within, as well as expanding the amount of trainees we can serve is really kind of a key piece. We're serving around 350 trainees in addition to like 8,000 community clients every year, but we're really hoping, the need is just so great right now, and we're really hoping to be able to increase that number to about 500 a year, 500 at any given time. Mary, anything else on your end?
Yeah, I think you covered it. We also have plans for a trauma-informed commissary kitchen. We acquired a building in Lincoln Heights, so just about a mile and a half from us, and we're going to be moving many of our food, our catering, and our e-commerce and our Feed Hope into this space. And it's going to be designed in a way so that staff and managers can see one another and be cognizant of trauma-informed work environment. So that's exciting too. And then Father Greg is celebrating his jubilee, 50 years as a Jesuit priest this year. So that's one other exciting thing.
Top of mind. I forgot about it.
and I'll put in a plug for our 5K, which is this September in downtown LA, always a really great community event. And last year was our biggest yet. So this year will probably be our biggest ever, which is very exciting. So
very exciting. What's the date? September
24th. September 24th. Yep.
24th. Okay. We'll make sure that we promote that for you. That sounds very exciting. Well, yeah. Thank you both. I can't thank you both enough truly for participating in the podcast today and sharing more about your really unique, very exciting organization that you're doing such great work for. We'll put a link to the website in the podcast notes so that folks can check it out if they're interested in learning more and taking advantage of some of those amazing businesses and social enterprises that are connected with Homeboy. But again, thank you so much for your time today and all the work that you're doing. It's really, really critical and very high impact, obviously. So thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.